really appreciated that song.
He's a real friend, isn't he? He's a real God, a real Savior, somebody that knows us and cares about us and is there for us through the thick and the thin. I desire your prayers this morning because I would like to also, in preaching the Word of the Lord, always be in a way that the Lord is pleased with, and that it could help introduce us to our Heavenly Father and what His desires are for us. He thinks good thoughts towards us. He has an expected end for us. And I don't want to get in the way of that ever in the preaching of the hope of the gospel. This morning, I have been inspired with more of a teaching message. Desire an interest in your attention, maybe some special focus this morning as I look to the Lord to help me deliver it in a way that is clear, makes sense, and is helpful in life. Because we live life. We are acquainted with the reality of life. And if the preaching of the Word of God is not able to reach where we live and help us to know how to live as we face the real day-to-day challenges of life, then it doesn't do us much good. And I don't believe that the Lord ever intended for it to be that way. The Lord intended for the gospel to be something that reaches right where we live in a very loving, helpful way. I'd like to read two verses this morning. First one out of the 37th chapter of Psalm. This is a psalm of David. And it says in the 23rd verse, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." It says the steps of a good man. That's who it's talking about, is the steps of a good man. And a good man has been translated from the original text as a strong man, a conqueror, not a weak person, not somebody that lives a defeated life and ends in a defeated manner, but the translation of a good man is a strong man, a conqueror, a righteous man, which is connected to Jesus Christ. Will a good man fall? Do we fall sometimes? Do we stumble? Do we unexpectedly disappoint ourselves? Sometimes we expectedly disappoint ourselves. I've been there. And other times I unexpectedly disappoint myself. I've been there too many times too. But this says that a good man, a man that whose steps are ordered by the Lord. That's what's key here. Whose steps are ordered by the Lord won't find themselves in a fallen place that then defines you. Where that's the end of the story. He fell, and he was dead, and he disappointed. The end. That doesn't have to be the end. For a man whose steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, It said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." When his steps are ordered or directed by the Lord, he delighteth in his way, because the way is a way that is ordered by the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, and his who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is a consistent God, who is a predictable God, who is a all-caring God who knows and wants to help us order our lives. Do you know that God is a being and a creator of order? That's right. God is a creator of order. And the steps of a true and eternal victor, somebody that conquers, somebody that ends well, must have their steps ordered by the Lord. Must. Has to. There's no other way to end, to have our story end well as a victor. Somebody that overcame and crossed the finish line and won the crown without having our steps ordered by the Lord. No two ways about it. No other alternatives. May the Lord help us. Now let's turn to Psalm 119. And we'll turn to the 133rd verse. Psalms 119 and 33 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Order my steps in, what did it say? In my word? In thy word. Order my steps, not in my word. Order my steps in thy word. And let not iniquity have dominion over me. Maybe we'll start a little bit with that last part first and work forward. King David also said in the 51st chapter of Psalm, I think in the fifth verse, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," something like that. Well, if iniquity is going to be kept from having dominion over us, there's going to have to be a higher power to direct and order his steps if he didn't want sin and iniquity to have dominion over him. And it's the same with us today, folks. If you don't want to be overcome by that which is good, we're going to have our steps ordered by something and somebody other than ourselves. And I believe that David got a hold of this through his life experiences. He found that in of himself he was going to fall. He was going to fail, and he did. And he recognized his great need of the Lord to order his steps. I want to have a strong sense of urgency this morning that I recognize my great need of Jesus Christ. Not just with lip service. You would expect me to say something like that. We're in church, preaching the gospel. Wouldn't I say that I have an interest in having the Lord have His way in my life? But do I want it enough so that He orders my life, so that He directs my life, down to the detail of my life every day? I am desperate for that. Look at the troubled world around us. All the answers are supposedly out there, and yet it looks like people are just getting into more and more and more trouble. All of the answers, all of the wisdom of the world, all of the technology, all of the science, all of the things that we're able to see that we have not been able to see before, and yet trouble abounds. People's lives are in ruin and wreck, and and it just seems like that things are not getting better. I need to understand where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. And I need Him to help direct my steps, that I might not end up in ruin, that I might not end up with a life that is unable to finish well, where I can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." In the end, that is all that is going to matter, folks. Nothing else is going to matter except that we be received in peace by the Lord at the end of the way. And this world simply does not have the wisdom. It simply does not have that we need to get across the finish line with victory and hear those words. I want to feel a sense of urgency in my own life along those lines. So I'm inspired today to speak a little bit about having a ordered Christian life. An ordered Christian life. And at the outset, I'd like to reinforce something that I strongly believe and is taught here on numerous occasions. As true born-again Christians, resting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the plan that He made for us, we realize as Christians that it isn't by our own works that we're saved. That's part of the peace that we have in Jesus Christ, is knowing that it's not of our righteousness, it's of Jesus Christ's righteousness. And people that are connected to God, people that have a developed experience with the Lord, have a understanding that, and their peace comes from the knowledge of knowing that it is not of my works that I'm saved. It is not of my own righteousness. There is no possible way that I can earn my place in heaven. If that was the case, if it was my responsibility to live in a way that was so righteous that the works on just their merit earned me a place at the table of Jesus Christ, I'd never make it. And we would never have peace in our hearts. If we live our lives trying to earn our way into heaven, you will never, ever find rest to your soul. If you have no rest in your soul today, but you are an honest heart, it's possible that the enemy has you trying to earn your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. Jesus Christ paid the price with His blood. That's the only way we can get in, to accept the gift of Jesus Christ. That's how we make it into heaven. However, it is also true that people who love the Lord more than anything else in life, people that believe into Jesus Christ, people who want Him more than anything else in life, and that indeed are resting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the belief that they have in Him results in works of righteousness. There are not very many people in life that have a more urgent desire or who are more zealous of good works than true Christians. The works is not what saves us. But there are works that result from being planted in Jesus Christ. It is a natural result that comes from that. We can get so far off base by living our lives where we start putting our focus on all of the works as if it's my works that defines my relationship with Jesus Christ. And we begin to almost worship the works more than we worship Jesus Christ Himself. And when we do that, it starts becoming more about me and less about Jesus Christ. And my peace goes right along with it. But when I am planted by the rivers of living water, and I recognize that my salvation comes from God the Father, and He gives me a gift that I couldn't pay for, and I love Him, and I want to serve Him, and I begin to follow Him, then what happens as a natural result of that is works of righteousness and a desire on my part to draw close to the Lord in a way that works of righteousness are manifested versus works of the flesh. Paul said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Without works, the Scripture says that faith is dead. I believe that King David's thoughts and the words that we read that he has written and his actions demonstrate that he too recognized his great need of the mercy of God the Father. And at the same time, all through the Psalms and David's writings, we find where he wants to live a life that is upright, that is good, that is found pleasing by the Lord. Thus we have these two verses encouraging us and challenging us to live and to walk in a manner that is ordered not by our personal preferences, not ordered by just, well, this looks like a good way for me to go and this is kind of how I think about it, not according to my wisdom, but rather ordered by the Lord. I'd like to return now to the subject of order and being ordered, having an ordered life. What do those terms mean? Does the word order and ordered have only one meaning? Or does it have more than one meaning? The word order and ordered, well, I wrote some more formal definitions down. I'll read them to you. The word ordered means arranged, put together in relationship to each other according to a particular pattern or method. Not chaotically, but not just randomly without any order at all, but established, set straight, put together in a systematic way that where there's relation in how things are set and established. That's one way. Is your room in order? Is your room organized? Organized is another term that can be used for ordered. But then further, another definition is, and consistent with these texts, it's arranged or ordered as appointed or directed by a higher authority. So if you go to work, you may have a boss that orders you to do something. Now, it's best to find ways to get people to do things besides just shouting out orders. Sometimes there's space for that. But that is another definition of the word order or ordered. Direction that is given by a higher authority. So this word order certainly can be related to both of those meanings in this text when contemplating these verses. In other words, ordered. Lord, help my steps to be established, to be organized. Help the way that I live to be such that it's that it is put together in a way that's not just random, according to your direction. Not according to my direction, but according to your direction. I hope that makes sense in how these words can be used. And I'd like to pause for a moment and ask you this question. Do you think that God is a God of order and organization? Or do you think that maybe the Lord is really just kind of a God that he's good with chaos, not really interested in the details? What do you think? You think we serve a chaotic God? Details, not so interested in the details so much. You ever heard somebody say, well, I'm a big picture person. I'm more of a visionary. Well, there's people like that in life. They're the people that they see what could be. They're the visionaries. Here's where we are, but we could be this over here. We're limited right here, but we could be way over here. And these people that are like that are some of the people that help take technology where it's gone, take companies where they start out really small and then they end up these large companies that have broad reach. It's because somebody was a visionary. But then there's other people that say, well, I'm a detail person. I focus on the details, and they're not so much of the big picture person, they're the detail people. Well, successful companies need both. If all you have is visionaries and nobody pays any attention to the details, you're not going to go very far. Just a lot of people with a lot of ideas talking in the same little building that never really goes anywhere. But if you just have detail people and you don't have any visionaries, you're just going to have a lot of people with a lot of capability to pay attention to the details, but you're not going to make a whole lot of progress. And so successful companies, they understand the benefit of getting both. Have people that think big, that can think about what could be, and also have people that know how to get you from point A to point B without running off the rails. But what about God? Is he a detail person or is he a big picture person? It's kind of both, isn't he? Consider the heavens and the land and the sea, and you look at the relation. He's obviously a big person, a big picture person. God is obviously, he's way beyond what we fathom. But he is a detail person too. And you don't have to look any further than the heavens and the earth and its relationship with it, and the land and the sea. And you see how that the relationship between the water and the land and the heavens, it is intricately tied. Do you know that our seasons, winter and spring and summer and fall, the reason we have seasons is not because it all occurs just because of what all's happening here on the earth. It's because the earth is tilted about its axis. This didn't happen on accident. The earth is round, but it spins, and in relationship to the sun, it's tilted. And so when it's over here, one part of the earth gets more direct rays from the sun. And as the earth rotates around the sun, when it gets over on this side, now the top part of the earth is closer to the sun than the bottom part of its axes. And seasons are created. Do you think that just happened on accident? The moon that is in the skies has to do with the tides of our oceans that help keep the waters at bay. You look at the cycle of life and death. You look at how we are interdependent on each other. And to me, there is mind-boggling order that has been created. The harmony that is between the heavens and the earth and the sea and the plant life and the animal life. All of these things, mind-boggling order, where God paid attention to the very details of His creation. So, this eventually gets down to where we live. Do you think that we as Christians, do you think the Lord is interested in us paying attention to the details of life? Or do you think the Lord is just good with, oh, there's one of my children over there. He's well pleased in him. He's a chaotic person. Live and let live. Doesn't really care whether it's yay or nay. Blown about with every wind of doctrine. Not very stable. Just lives however they want to live depending on the day. Do you think that the Lord's pleased with that? When we look to see what God has done and what He has established, do you think that He just wants us to be free to drift with whatever pleasant and enticing winds, however they blow? I don't think so. I don't find that in the Word of the Lord. I don't find it in these texts. And it's not how God expressed His desire in either the Old or the New Testament. Under the law, He established a law where details mattered. Live this way. If you don't live this way, there's consequences to it. Very structured, very detail-oriented. So detail-oriented that He helped us realize that we couldn't be saved in of ourselves, that we needed something more than following the law. Well, what about the time of grace? The time of grace brought in so that we could just breathe a deep sigh of relief. Now we can just live however we want to live. No, Paul said in Galatians, the 5th chapter, stand fast. Don't move all over the place, but stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It's not any old liberty. It's the liberty that Christ brought us. It's the way that Christ established. And He established a way for us that's a good way. He didn't come to do us harm. He wants things to be good for us in life. He wants there to be harmony in our life. He wants there to be peace. He wants to have a relationship with us. Ephesians 4 and 14 said, no more children carried about by every wind of doctrine. That wasn't the Lord's intent. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord desires us to live ordered Christian lives. Lives that are ordered by the Word of the Lord and confirmed by His Spirit. That's what this Scripture said. Order. What did it say in the 133rd verse? Order my steps in thy word. This places a lot of responsibility on us, y'all, to be interested in knowing what the Word of the Lord says. How do I know which way to go if I don't know what the Word of the Lord says? If the Holy Spirit is not in me to help me understand what the Word of the Lord means, how possibly can I have my steps ordered by the Lord? The Lord wants to organize our lives. Yes, He gives us a lot of decision rights, if I could say it that way, about a lot of the things that we do. But when it comes to where our heart is and our purpose and how that is manifested in the day-to-day living of our lives, God wants to be the one that helps establish and set in order what my life looks like. He doesn't just want me to live a structured life just for the sake of structure, but He wants to order it in a way that can be a blessing to me and other people and glorify Him. There's a verse that says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? death, not good, but it seems right to me, and the Lord knows that. So the Lord says, come follow me. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Jeremiah said, it's not in man to direct his own step. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We need the Lord. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. In conclusion this morning, being a Christian, somebody whose heart is given to the Lord fully and completely, is going to involve living an ordered Christian life. And so I want to leave you with this question. How is your life ordered today? How's it ordered? Who orders it? Who orders your life? Do you order it? Is it structured and is it put together and is it set straight according to the word of the Lord? Are we just living life, being blown by whatever influences come our way that seem to be right? I want my steps this morning to be ordered by the Lord. I want my life to take on a form, if you will, of godliness that is directed by the Holy Spirit, established by His Word, and I need His help. The Lord has our best interests at heart. He wants us to be acquainted with peace, and He wants our lives to end in peace. But if I don't let Him order my life, organize it, establish it, help me know how to live, help me know how to make decisions each day, I'm going to be lost. And I don't want to be lost. Lord, this morning, help me to hear Your voice. Help me to be willing to follow Your voice when You call me. When it's not the way that I would go, when it goes against my flesh, when it's in contradiction with that that seems right to me, Lord, help me to be willing to follow and to trust and to believe that Your way is best. Pray for me. I want to be true. And may the Lord help us as we look to understand more about what this means in our day-to-day life.